I'm so glad that you are joining us for the very first Coaching for Leaders MemberCast, and I can't think of a better person for this very first episode of the MemberCast than Mike Birch. I've been really pleased to get to know Mike over the last year. Mike is a senior vice president with Speedway Motorsports and is also a member of our mastermind community. And Mike is has so much expertise in a whole bunch of different areas. And in particular, today we're going to dive in on some of the great things Mike's been doing on goal setting, habit tracking, and just some of his own personal practices around his own leadership development, which I found have been really inspiring as I've gotten to know Mike over the last year. And Mike, welcome to the first MemberCast.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be here, and an honor that you have selected me to be the first victim of the MemberCast.
Well, I am really glad to have you here, and I'm interested if you could say a little bit about your work at Speedway Motorsports, just so folks have the context of some of the things you're coming to the table with from your own leadership experience in your career.
Sure, we have speedways around the country. We're in here in Charlotte, where our home base is. We're in Atlanta, up in New Hampshire, Kentucky, Texas, Sonoma, Bristol, Tennessee, and Las Vegas. And we host primarily motorsports events, NASCAR races, IndyCar races, drag racing. We also host concerts, festivals, and basically any other kind of events that you need a lot of real estate for. And I oversee the corporate revenue for the company. So we make three main revenue sources are selling tickets, selling sponsorships, and media rights. And so the sponsorship piece of it is what I oversee. So I work with our eight sales teams, our eight speedways. We also own the Performance Racing Network that broadcasts the races. And then we also own a merchandise company. And we also manufacture our own brand of race cars, U.S. Legends cars, that a lot of the NASCAR drivers got their start in driving those. So in my role is to maximize that one leg of the three-legged stool in terms of sponsorships.
And you have one of the coolest offices I think I've ever seen, because when I've been on video conference with you and you look out your window, you actually look over a race course, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We're here at Charlotte Motor Speedway to be able to turn around. And sometimes you take for granted that everybody works in a really cool office space. But yeah, it is pretty pretty motivating and exciting to look out and see what may be going on any given day, especially when one of the series is in town and racing here at the track.
You and I have known each other almost a year now, but I'm curious, how did you first get connected with listening to Coaching for Leaders? Do you remember how it got on your radar screen initially?
Probably like most people, was looking for resources to help me become a better leader, to bring more value, to help the people around me be more successful. And, like any good internet citizen, I went on Google and started searching and came up with several resources. But as I kind of weeded my way through things, your podcast stood out as every week giving really good, actionable, practical, insightful leadership tips. And I've pared down to just a handful of podcasts. I used to listen to dozens, but Coaching for Leaders is still in the weekly rotation.
Well, I'm really honored. And one of the things that I think is really great about not only our mastermind community, but our broader Coaching for Leaders community is there's a lot of give and take between me and the members and our community on what should be brought to the show. And you were actually the inspiration, Mike, behind David Marquet getting on the show. For those who haven't listened, David Marquet's episode, I think it's episode 241, former U.S. Navy subcommander. Mike, we've had so many great comments in the last year on that episode since it aired. I think almost 20,000 downloads have happened of that conversation since it was aired. And you were the inspiration for that. So I just wanted to publicly say thanks for putting me in touch with him and also for just demonstrating some of the things you've done with your own leadership team and the work that he's done.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I find truth is truth no matter where you find it. And David's principles are just fantastic, and I find myself, one of the things I like to do is read, and I've read his book several times, and I've actually bought a lot of his other resources, and just keep going back to those as touchstones and helping me develop as a leader and developing the people around me. So I really enjoyed the interview, and hopefully hearing more from him down the road.
Yeah, I'd like to as well, and that's actually part of the genesis for our conversation. Is you and I were talking about our own leadership development and goal setting. And I know you had gotten involved with Michael Hyatt's course at the beginning of the year, the Best Year Ever course, and did some goal setting. And one of the things I was really intrigued by, Mike, is that as you started looking at your year, and we're recording this about two-thirds of the way through 2016 now, but when you started the year, you had set your goals, but then I remember if it was right away, but fairly quickly afterwards, you started telling our mastermind group about how you were going to look at your goal setting a little differently this year than you had in the past. And I was wondering if you could walk through for us just how you framed your goal setting, because I found it really intriguing.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Michael Hyatt's. He's one of the other few podcasts I still listen to. And over the holidays, Christmas, my family and I, I got them the planning Best Year Ever resource that he offers. And between Christmas and New Year's, we went through that as a family, and the four of us developed our goals for the year. And pretty early on, like you said, I came to realize that a year's a long time, and especially with I have two teenagers, and how do you accelerate that and stay focused? And about the same time, I read a book, 12-Week Year, which basically gave a blueprint into turning your year into a 12-week period. And it breaks up real nicely. It's actually a 13-week when you add a kind of a review week. But if you follow their model where 12 weeks becomes a year, which makes every week like a month, which really makes every day like a week, and it really focuses you on how do I make the most of that day's activities and how do I link them back to that week and subsequently, that quote-unquote year. And it really brought a lot of urgency, and that's something I've always kind of struggled with, is making sure that I'm actively moving towards my goals. And this was really kind of a nice bridge to those things that initially I'd put off to be 12 months from now I wanted to accomplish, and really helped tie them back in on a day-to-day basis. And the world moves so fast nowadays that, it literally, it changes, at least in our world, 3 months is a long time, 12 weeks is a long time. So it also gave me points to periodically, look at those goals. And I'm in my third 12-week year cycle now. And some of those things I've carried on. More of those have been relational in terms of investing time with my kids and my wife and reading and some of my fitness goals. Those are things that have carried over. But I found particularly in my work, or as I label in my vocational roles, as I've accomplished things quarterly, it's given me a chance to kind of reset my priorities and take on new projects and make sure those get the proper attention, while also keeping some longer term projects that frankly just haven't been able to knock out in 12 weeks. But this has helped me at the end of every week see the progress I'm making. And then I took and combined that with one of Marshall Goldsmith's concepts. He actually hire somebody, and I think Marshall, somebody you've had on the show, is that correct, Dave?
Yeah, he's been on the show.
So one of the things he does is he actually pays a woman to call him every night and ask him a series of questions that he's developed, because he knows he doesn't have the discipline to ask himself those questions. So I don't have the resources to hire somebody to do it for me, but I do understand technology a little bit. So what I did was develop a series of questions around my 12-week year goals. And Google actually offers a great tool in their Google Forms. You can go in and very easily make a form on any topic that you want. So I have my questions I have 23 yes/no questions that are tied to my 12-week year goals. And so then they give you you can create a link that goes to that form. And once you enter the form, it automatically sends those answers to a Google Sheet, a spreadsheet. So what I do every night at 9:30, I use an app called Do that reminds me to click on this link and answer these questions. So I go through, I answer my questions, and then they get applied to the spreadsheet. And on every Sunday, I go through, or Monday, or sometimes Tuesday, I have to admit, I'm not always that diligent doing it at the end of the week. I go through and I add up all my yeses, and all my noes, and give myself a score on a percentage basis. So usually I'm somewhere in between the low 70s and the high 80s. And then I go back and look at each column, which represents each question, and see, where have I been racking up some noes, and those are maybe some areas that I've neglected. And kind of gives me a focus of a reminder, I need to not be going into the refrigerator at 9:45 at night, since one of my goals is not eat after 8 o'clock. Or maybe I need to be more intentional in setting up, you know, a date night, you know, with my wife, which I want to do every week, or spending one-on-one time with my kids, or I need to focus on, you know, finishing, you know, the comp plans for next year, which is one of my, you know, my 12-week goals for this period. And just having that kind of accountability. And you know, Marshall says, you know, that it's really tough to continue to ask yourself those questions and being honest with yourself in answering them. And the way he likes to phrase them is have I done my best to? And that's sometimes I really have to pause and say, did I really do my best to work on the comp plans today? And then I have a couple of them, the vocational ones. I also have a not applicable. So when I'm asking myself these questions on Saturday and Sunday, I answer those NA, and so they don't get counted against me, because on the weekends when I'm with my family, I want to be focused on my family. But I keep asking myself the personal questions, even on the weekends. And it's just kind of good week to week to see, hey, is that number going up or is that number going down in terms of, you know, reaching these things that I, in a moment of clarity and peace, have decided are important to me. Am I really day-to-day carrying out the actions to help make those things possible?
I've also found Marshall Goldsmith's thinking on this really profound. And here's the guy who's basically the top leadership executive coach in the world and still struggles with the daily habits too, like the rest of us do. And I love that you've found a way to put that tracking into practice and have some sort of follow-up for it. And the one thing I'm curious about, Mike, and is how do you've got your 12-week goals. How does the individual, I mean, you mentioned one of them as far as not eating after 8 o'clock at night. How does that come out of the 12-week goals? Like, what process do you use to figure out what's going to be on that spreadsheet?
Well, one of the things, you know, I wanted to, you know, maintain my fitness. And so I looked at what were the things, the kind of the key, the leading indicators. You know, you have leading and lagging indicators. And one of the things I talk about a lot with our sales team is, I use the analogy of weight loss. And when you step on the scale, you know, you should not be worried about what the number is going to be, because if you've done your the right things on a meal-by-meal basis, if you've made good eating decisions, if you've gotten your exercise every day, you know at the end of the week that the number is going to be headed in a positive direction. And too often, I think we end up focusing on the result, and we don't tie it back to those day-to-day actions. So as I looked at kind of a broader level, you know, I wanted to have, you know, a better relationship with my wife. So what does that look like? Well, that looks like us, at least on a weekly basis, having quality time together. I wanted to have a better relationship with my kids. So what does that mean? That means at least, you know, once a week spending time with just one of them, just them and I. And from a fitness level, what does that look like? That looks like me exercising every day. It looks like me getting 7.5 hours of sleep. It looks like me not eating after 8 o'clock. It looks like me making good eating decisions. So that's how I came up with the questions, is what do I need to do on a daily basis to help me achieve that goal? And so tying it back to that kind of level is what has helped me kind of keep those top of mind and focused. And I'd also be remiss if I didn't kind of close the loop and say the other big piece of it that the mastermind has afforded me is an accountability forum. So every week I go in the forum and, you know, I post, you know, this is what my score was this week. Here's the areas where I was successful. Here's the areas that I need to improve on. And just knowing that there's five or six other people there who sometimes, you know, I'll get a note of encouragement or whatever, just knowing that there's other people there, and whether or not they actually expect it there or not, I just know that I've committed to myself, I'm going to post this every week publicly so that somebody sees that. And that's been a big motivator helping me stay focused on those things.
Yeah, I've noticed that you're so consistent on getting that up there, and you're consistent whether the number is great or not great of putting it up and saying, hey, you know, here's what happened this week. And it's the consistency is really impressive, actually. And that's what got me thinking about you being a good example for a lot of us on how to do this. And I am curious, when you have some of those weeks, I should say, first of all, Mike, I think you're way better at this. I've got my task list, and I'm feeling good if I'm hitting like 50% every week of the things that I hit. And I look at your numbers, and I'm 70 or 80 may seem like maybe not a great number for people who've not done this before. But you and I know, Mike, when you really like get diligent to doing this, it is tough to hit 70 or 80% of these habits that you say are important to you every day. And you do a pretty good job at hitting them, but I noticed you don't always, like all of us. What do you do to keep yourself both accountable, but at the same time not discouraged when you have a week where you hit, you know, a 40 or a 50 or whatever?
I think it goes back to really knowing what's important to you. And we all, I think, make a lot of promises to ourselves and have a lot of things that we think we want to do. And consequently, we say yes to way too many things and things that, again, we know we'd like to do, but do we really have the time on a daily basis to do the things we need to do to achieve them? So that was one of the things that going back and doing kind of the best year ever, again, in a moment of clarity, in a moment of thoughtfulness, what do I think is really important to me to be happy? And what are the things I really want to do? And on a daily basis, seeing those things and asking those questions helps me say no to those things that take me away from that. And yes, this project may be great, but you know, it's more important that, you know, I go on a date with my wife tonight. Or yes, this opportunity may be great at work, but I know it's more important that I focus on this. So it's actually helped me say no to things because I know what I've already said yes to. And it's just staying focused and committed to those things that I have said are important to me. Am I actually living that out in the way I act on a daily basis? And when you can do that, I think it really gives you a lot of momentum and a lot of traction towards achieving those things. And then, you know, you get them and they become a habit or they become a ritual. And that increases, at least in my life, the capacity to look at doing more things. So it's not a question anymore that, you know, when the alarm goes off in the morning, that A, I get up, as the Navy SEALs say, that's your first test of discipline, is, you know, do you get up when the alarm goes off? But I know the first time I do it is go out and exercise and run. So I don't have to debate anymore in the morning whether I'm going to do that or not. And some mornings that means I have to get up at 5 o'clock to do it because I've got a 7 o'clock meeting that morning. Other mornings, you know, I might have anything till 9, so I can sleep a little later. But I know this is what I'm going to do, and I don't have to worry about and make that decision every day because being fit is important to me because I've tied it back into a longer term goal. Ultimately, the other day, you know, when I sit down at the table or when I'm thinking about, you know, do I need to run or not, you know, I think about my grandchildren and I want to be around to see my grandchildren. And I know doing these things, that's my why. And again, Simon Sinek, another host, guest on the podcast, that start with why. Your why is what gets you through those discouraging weeks where you only score 50%. And then you look at, you know, why did I score 50%? And most times, because I've let something else get in the way of the things that I said were important to me and really helping me maintain my focus, saying no to the good so I can focus on the great. It's really one of the things that those questions keep me focused on.
Yeah, and it's certainly human nature for all of us to say yes to things that we probably shouldn't. And yet, one of the things I really like that you've done, Mike, is you've figured out in advance, you know, what are the things I do want to be saying yes to? And you really get this principle that if you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to everything else you could do at that time. And so you want to be saying yes to the things that are most important to you the as much as possible. And you're doing that in practice. And even when you don't, you know what it is that you're missing. So you'll have if you have a week where you don't say yes to the right things, you'll see it, and then you'll course correct as you go along. And we've seen that you do that on the forum as you've been posting them. So I just think it's really stellar how you've done that so consistently.
Yeah, as an economics major, you know, one of the two things I learned were that the second pizza is not as good as the first pizza, and the meaning of understanding of opportunity cost. When you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else.
Marginal utility, I think that's what our economist friends call it. That's one of my favorite principles from economics. All right. So one of the things that is really interesting to me, too, is part of this tracking is on your own leadership development. And you've become a little bit of a celebrity, Mike, amongst the mastermind community in how many books you've read. And so, first of all, let's see, it's August 2016 when we're recording this. How many books have you read so far in 2016?
I have my Goodreads Reading Challenge app open here on my phone, and according to Goodreads, I've read 124 books so far.
That's crazy. Wow. So, first of all, are you really reading all those books? Like when you say read a book, are you reading a book cover to cover, 124?
Well, if Audible counts as quote unquote reading, I'm consuming every unabridged version. I would say probably 75% of that is via Audible, and 2x. You know, I made the mental note as we were starting the podcast. Hearing the intro music at normal speed was totally foreign to me because I'm used to hearing, and even hearing you, I'm used to a little bit more now to the mastermind. But even hearing you at normal speed, my kind of default now is up to 2x. So it's amazing how much you can consume in Audible and in podcasts. And Marco Arment's Overcast app is a real blessing in terms of how that speeds things up. But to be able to listen to things at 2x really helps my consumption there. But now I read every word, listen to every word, take notes. So that's actual books consumed.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so complete related side note. But the first time I heard that people listen to podcasts at more than one times the speed, and the first time I heard my voice at more than one times the speed, Mike, I was completely horrified. I was like, how do people listen to shows like this? And now I can't listen to a podcast at normal speed. Even my own show, I listen to it like 1.3, 1.4. So you do get used to it after time. And now it seems too slow when I listen to just normal conversation.
Yeah, I'll try to speed up my speaking here for everybody who's listening to this at normal speed.
We'll really mess with people who are listening at the advanced speed. I love Overcast too, by the way. Cool. So you're listening to all these, consuming it all. Are you able to retain what you're listening to? And like you, I listen to Audible a lot, but do you find that you're able to retain it and to have that information there that you can go back to?
Well, normally, no. The answer to that used to be no, because I found that when I could only listen to nonfiction on Audible, because my mind would wander and I'd realize, after 5-10 minutes, I just had totally blanked out in the last 5 minutes. I have to go back and rewind, and that ended up, taking kind of a long time. But a couple years ago, when Amazon bought Audible and they implemented WhisperSync, which is basically tying the Kindle to Audible. And if, most of the books I read, are WhisperSync compatible, which means that if you're reading the book on the Kindle, then when you go to Audible, it picks up, where you left on Kindle and vice versa. So, I've got about a 30-minute commute each way. I usually work out for between 30 minutes and an hour every morning. So that's about 2 hours a day of listening I have, let alone reading time. So by being able to use that WhisperSync, that really accelerated my consumption. But also having the Kindle version, one thing I do is when I get home from a commute or when I get to the office, I'll go back in the Kindle version, and it's so easy to highlight things. Literally just using a finger, I'll go through and highlight, key topics. And so many books, if you read the first chapter, if you read the chapter headings or the last chapter, you'd get about 80% of what most books offer. What you don't get are the illustrations and the things that really make the lessons sink in. But to be able to go through and highlight those and then go to, kindle.amazon.com that keeps track of all those notes, it's just a great way to go back, when I finish a book, go through and reread and see the highlights and kind of look at, is there anything here I can take and implement on a day-to-day basis? But without having that hard copy to go back, so to speak, and be able to take those notes, I don't think I'd get nearly as much out of the books that I listen to. But like I said, being able to actually capture those notes, because a lot of this is while I'm driving or running, I don't have, it's not easy to take out the phone and pencil down a note or pull out my field notes and write something down. Be able to go back and very quickly just highlight the memorable passages has really helped me retain the stuff that I've read.
Oh, interesting. And that was the thing that stopped me from doing Audible initially, is I felt like I wasn't going to retain, and when I wanted to take a note, it wouldn't be there. So that's fascinating. You're using WhisperSync for that. I haven't set that up yet. I need to. You'll just sit down after a session or after a run and just go through real quickly and highlight on your Kindle what was most relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times I'll look for Kindle books when they're on sale. And a lot of times you can add the it'll be WhisperSync, they're called Audible Narration. And for another $1.99, $2.99, $3.99 more, you can add the Audible Narration to it, which really ties those two together. So, it'd be kind of expensive if you bought the full price of the book at, $9.99 or $15.99, and you bought the full Audible at, the same price. But usually for, if the book's on sale at $10 for another, $2.99, you can add the Audible translation. To be more efficient with it, it's a good investment in my mind.
I'm thinking about just my own habits and running, working out times. I listen to things on the road. And then having the discipline to, after that session, to take a minute to pull out, because I could do this today, and yet I don't, pull out my Kindle app or pull out the Kindle and highlight things. When you first started doing this, Mike, what did you do to get yourself in the habit of doing that?
It was more if it's important enough and I really want to make a change and it's something I really wanted to remember, is it worth, it doesn't take as long as you always think. A lot of things take a lot longer than you think, but some things don't take nearly as long as you think. And it literally doesn't take any more than, if there's a ton of stuff, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. If there's just a couple key points I want to hit, it's 60 seconds to open up Kindle. Again, I'm right where I left off, so I flip back through. And again, a lot of times, especially in nonfiction, there'll be lists or there'll be headings. I'll just highlight the heading, highlight the list as a whole. And I'm not really super concerned about do I have to get this exactly right. It's more just capturing the general idea because I've listened to it, I've read it, I've got the illustrations. I just want to have somewhere when I go back, I can refer to what the key points were. And there's some books, frankly, that I've read multiple times. I don't count those on my number of books read list. I've probably read Crucial Conversations 3 or 4 times this year, just because there's so much good stuff in there. I just have to constantly remind myself, and I just love the illustrations. That's when I really want to sink in. So it's just a combination of going back and just having a place I can revisit those notes. I think that's one thing we don't do often enough, is whether it's during our weekly review, going back and reviewing the notes from our meetings, or going back and reviewing the notes of books we read, and just reminders about, we know what to do. It's just reminding ourselves, getting back to things. That's why I love teaching so much, is being able to share something with somebody. And I realize half the time it's a habit that I've gotten out of, or it's something that I haven't done in a while. And so much of life is about just getting the basics right. And just constantly reminding yourself what the basics are is half the battle.
And it's like the Nike people say, I'm getting the message, just do it, right? Just get started. And then you adapt and change as you go, but starting and taking the practice to jump in is the key part to this whole thing and making it all work.
Yeah, there's very few things you can't go back and change. And if a workflow or process isn't working for you, change it. If you're not getting value of it, don't do it. And I think a lot of times we're hesitant to drop things, in our life just because we're comfortable with them, but they're not really providing the value they used to. And we have to have the courage to be willing to change and say, this is not the most valuable use of this resource, whether it's my time or my energy or my relationship. And so I need to, I need to look at how can I better use this. And just having the courage to make change is sometimes our biggest challenge.
Mike, you mentioned a few moments ago that you enjoy teaching, and it certainly comes out in our conversation. I just really appreciate you taking the time to walk us through how you're doing the 12-week year. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier in the conversation, but I've started doing that as well. I heard you doing it and heard about the model, and I was like, I'm going to totally tackle that. It makes a lot more sense to me than it than tackling the whole year at once. And I've started doing the same thing. And I just really appreciate your inspiration and sharing some of your tactics with us so the rest of us can benefit too.
Great. Well, Dave, I know everybody will be listening to this. I appreciate, your commitment to helping us all get better, be better leaders, the insight that you have both on the podcast, the way you conduct the masterminds, something I look forward to, twice a month, every 2 weeks of getting together. And frankly, your leadership of those, yes, I've gotten a lot of tremendous value out of the people in the group, but your stewardship of that, the way that you conduct those 75-minute sessions that provide value to everybody, make sure everybody's opinion is heard, make sure that there's thought-provoking, make sure there's value there. Really appreciate the effort that goes into that. And I've gotten so much out of that. I've improved in so many areas just because of the time I spend with you and those other people in our group.
Mike, the feeling is mutual. I've learned as much from all of you and you for sure as well. So thank you for the kind words, and I'm just really honored. It's a ton of fun, and I'm excited to get to be learning and inspired from so many different perspectives every week. It's a real pleasure and an honor. Thanks a ton. And by the way, for those who may want to reach out to you, and Mike, you can say no on this, by the way, and I'll just cut this piece out. Do you want to leave any information for folks if they wanted to reach out to you online or anything like that?
Sure. A couple ways. Twitter, it's at Mike_Burch, B-U-R-C-H. I don't post a lot there, but what I do hopefully has value. And then, you know, feel free to email Mike@BurchFam.com is my direct email. So glad there. And then people in the mastermind, feel free to post on the forums. And one of my OmniFocus tasks every 3 days is to make sure I visit the forum. So at least every 3 days, I'm checking in there.
Speaking of good habits, I love it, Mike. Hey, thanks a ton for your time, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks again to Mike for his wisdom and perspective on goal setting and how to take that goal setting and actually turn it into results. And we heard of several examples during the conversation. And I thought two program notes would be helpful to mention here as well. First, not only is Mike producing great results in his own personal development and for his organization, but also for his career. Between us recording this episode and actually producing and airing it, Mike got a big promotion. He's now Chief Strategy Officer at Speedway Motorsports. And so he's continuing to do great things for their organization, is going to be doing an even more expanded capacity. So congrats, Mike, on just a really successful career with your organization. And I'm really excited to see what you're going to do next. And also the other thing I wanted to mention is we talked about the mastermind a couple of times during this conversation. We have updated the name of the mastermind. It's now called the Coaching for Leaders Academy. So you'll see that online if you go check out information on that. And two ways you can do that. If you'd like to learn more about the Academy, in your membership dashboard, there's a button where you can apply to the Academy. And when applications are open, you'll find all the information there. When the applications are not open, you'll find a place that you can submit your name and email address to be alerted when applications do open up next. You can also go to coachingforleaders.com/academy. That will take you to the same place, and you can do the same thing. So thanks again for listening. I look forward to having you back for the next MemberCast. Take care.